Today I continue the coverage of the so-called irregular phrase with the first lecture on extensions to phrases. If you will remember from previous lectures, I talked about inherently irregular phrases. That was phrases which are a length other than four measures because they are just happen to be that length. They're actually five or seven measure phrases or three measure phrases. But that's not the only way to create an other than four measure phrase. Another way to do it is by taking a four measure phrase and extending it in one way or another. This particular lecture is concentrating on the idea of extending a phrase at its beginning. This is actually the rarest of the three kinds of phrase extensions, which are, as you would guess, extensions at the beginning, extensions in the middle, and extensions at the end. Because an extension at the beginning is a little bit harder for the listener to hear, in general, you'll find that composers write such extensions only under very, very careful circumstances. And the most obvious of those is a little anticipation of the melody, almost as though the phrase stutters a little bit before getting started. Here's an example from a Haydn string quartet. In this particular example, I've used two different sounds to play the phrase. The first sound is a guitar sound which plays the extension, which is the first two notes, D, F, D, F, and then what follows is an actual four-measure phrase. Let's hear that one again. This is the extension, now phrase. First measure, second, third, fourth. That kind of creation of an extension is one of the easiest ways to create one of these extensions, and in fact, it's one of the easiest ways to hear it, because very shortly after the phrase gets going, we hear clearly that what we heard right at the beginning was like, as I said, a little bitty bit of a stutter or something like that. Here's another example of that from a slightly more famous piece. This is Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and in the third movement, the trio is this sort of madcap fugal affair, and its second part, part two of the trio, has this interesting stutter right at the beginning. And like the previous example, it's pretty easy to hear that this is in fact a kind of extension. Here it is. As in the previous example, I've used a guitar sound to show the extension and then a piano sound to play the actual melody. Of course, I've slowed it down some. Everybody knows this particular work, and I'm sure you're perfectly aware that the phrase goes a lot faster than this, but I think it's worth slowing it down just so you can hear what's happening. Here it is once more. Here it is one more time. Extension. Then the phrase proper. So again, you have this sort of little sense of a stutter, which is anticipating the first part of the melody. Possibly one of the most famous phrase extensions at the beginning occurs at the very beginning of Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica. The first phrase itself is a standard four-measure phrase, but it is preceded by two measures of a loud, quite bombastic tonic triad. In case you can't remember it, here it is. Again, this is the kind of extension that nobody would miss. You hear very quickly that what you had heard was just sort of a ready, set, go sort of sound. In a funny sort of way, those first two chords, by the way, stand in for the slow introduction of the earlier symphonic style. Beethoven was in such a hurry, I guess, to get into the main allegro movement that he didn't want to bother with the slow introduction, so those chords, those two chords, are all you're going to get in the way of an introduction. But in fact, they do qualify as being the anticipation of a phrase. Now, another example from Beethoven's keyboard music is a somewhat more extended opening. It is still, though, nonetheless, a kind of a stutter, that is, an anticipation of the first part of the melody. This time, though, the stutter is somewhat more severe and a little bit more long-winded. So with this example, I'm back to my technique of using guitar for the expansion and then piano for the main sound. Just to go back over it one more time, here it is again. Expansion. And main. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a standard four-measure phrase, but with this wonderful, slightly kooky sort of opening. The last example I want to give you, this is actually a rather short and easy topic to cover. So in this last example, I want to give you an anticipation of the melody in which the stutter has almost gotten to the point where the music might need to go visit a speech therapist, in that it almost can't seem to get itself started. I'm going to play it for you, and then you can ask yourself, oh, where have I heard that before? Because you will probably recognize it immediately. So perhaps we should have some sort of a sweepstakes here, the first person to recognize the piece, but I should hope that everybody would win. Of course, it's Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, and the first movement. The main theme comes in fact, almost sort of sneaks in after this little period of stuttering. So that's how a composer can place an extension at the beginning of a phrase by the simple expedient of anticipating a little bit of the opening melody. Now, there is only one other technique that really works pretty well as an expansion of a phrase at the beginning, and what that is the establishment of an accompaniment pattern. In a way, this isn't really an expansion to a phrase at all, although it usually is classified in most theory books as being an expansion of a phrase. You hear it in piano music or any kind of chamber music or vocal music in which the accompaniment, either in the piano or the orchestra or wherever, gets itself established within about a measure's worth or so, and then the melody comes in. The phrase itself is not really any longer. It still remains a four-measure phrase, but we have to account for that accompaniment somehow, and accounting for it as an expansion at the beginning of the phrase seems to work pretty well. There are so many possible examples of this kind of thing, I almost don't know where to choose, but let's begin with one by Mendelssohn. If you listen right at the beginning, you can hear that the accompaniment pattern, which is characterized by triplets, gets itself going, and then actually at the end of the first measure, the melody comes in. And then the melody comes in. And so forth. Of course, Chopin nocturnes, Mendelssohn songs without words, Schumann works, and so on, Schubert. We would associate this mostly with romantic music, but in fact other composers would write this sort of thing as well. Here's a terrific example from Bartok. So we can hear with that example, again, that lovely sort of undulating idea goes on for two measures. And then in comes the main little idea itself. Really very effective, I think. Here it is again. Opening. And then melody. That extension at the beginning, though, doesn't always have to be a direct pattern. That is, it doesn't have to be precisely the same pattern that will continue onward when the melody comes in. It usually is, but it doesn't have to be, as long as we hear it as some kind of a short pre-melody introduction that's really too short to be considered a whole introduction. This is another example by Bartók. In this case, the two measures that start out are actually different from the accompaniment pattern that continues, but shares a lot of similar material. Pardon me, actually, the introduction is three measures, not two. I had forgotten. Let's hear that one more time and hear how that really interesting idea at the beginning then becomes the rhythm of the accompaniment, but it's not the same notes. So here it is again. Melody. So that's the other technique that composers can use to expand a phrase at the beginning, which is a kind of an anticipation of the accompaniment pattern, or establishment of it, if you prefer to use that word. Other than that, expansions at the beginning of a phrase are generally completely disconnected from that phrase. In other words, they're full-fledged introductions, meaning separate sections in their own right. The ear really cannot pick up anything larger and connect it comfortably to the beginning of a phrase. So most phrase extensions actually occur within a phrase or at the end of a phrase. Only these two techniques, that is the anticipation of the melody or the anticipation of the accompaniment pattern, seem to work for expanding a phrase at the beginning. We'll discuss expansions in the middle and expansions at the end of the phrase in future lectures.